We welcome you today to the Wayne County Bible Center, our Sunday morning worship service, and we praise God for everyone that is in the room, those that are listening by the website. And today we have a very, very special guest, a man who's very near and dear to me and my family and to many families throughout Wayne County, Dr. Joe Hall. For many of us, he is our personal physician, but he is also our personal friend. And Brother Joe is going to share a word of testimony with us today. And so you folks that are listening on the website, you'll be hearing from him today. But before we begin today, I would just like to say that Joe is so, so special to me. He's been my doctor for the last 20 years, and his daughter Valerie and Miss Pat Castleman. And for folks that don't live in Wayne County, we not only have a sense of community, but we have a sense of family. You know, God's word said that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother when he talked about David's relationship with Jonathan. And we have that here, and it's such a great blessing. And I owe so much to Joe in 2011 when I was near death several times. It was the wisdom of God through Joe that treated me and then got me the treatment that I needed. And so I just praise God for him always being there for so many of us. And we praise God for Christy today and his family. And so glad they're here. I want to read to you a few verses out of the Psalms that speak about what Brother Joe's going to be sharing today. When anyone shares a personal testimony, we here in Wayne County know Joe was involved in a very, very serious accident, going to the hospital to see about his patients several weeks ago, and God performed a miraculous salvation and deliverance for him in that. But I want to share with you what the psalmist says. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he listened unto me, and he heard my cry. Throughout my life, he has brought me up out of so many horrible pits, and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he has established my goings forth. The Lord, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise unto God. Many are going to hear it, and they're going to worship, and they're going to trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done toward me all my life. Your thoughts and your plans toward me, they are more than I can count up in order unto thee. And if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Today, I'm going to proclaim your righteousness to this great congregation. I am not going to refrain my lips, O Lord. I am not going to hide all your righteousness toward me within my heart. I am going to declare your faithfulness to me, your salvation for me, and your deliverances for me. I am not going to conceal your loving kindness and your truth from all these that have assembled. Lord, I know you're not going to withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. And I pray today that your loving kindness and your truth will continue to be the forces and the powers that preserve me. Lord, let all those that seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let such as love your name say continually, let the Lord be magnified." So today, as Brother Joe Hall comes, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, I pray right now you strengthen this dear brother whom we love. And Father, I pray that you just touch his heart right now with total peace. Father, Joe has always been there for us. You have always been there for Joe. Father, like my life, at times we didn't even realize it, but there you were, guiding this step and that step. And Father, I want to thank you for your patience and your mercy in my life and in all our lives today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you have your way with all of us. as you use our brother today to magnify your name. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll ask Brother Joe Hall if he would make his way up here. And Cameron, you help my man. Tony, if we decide we need a mic, I'll get you to jump up here and help. Now we can keep you down if you need to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now let's get this stool the way you want.
I'll use it.
Okay. You want a microphone or are you good without
one? I'll ask you in the back if you can hear me well. I'll pick on you, Mike.
Pick on Mike.
Pick it up. When I was 40, I wouldn't have needed that much help. And I'm just glad it's there. So if you'll give me a second, I just want to look at you and see what I've gotten myself into. Just see how nervous I need to be. Yeah, well, that's pretty nervous. If that won't damage that, will it? Okay. God works in weird ways. Song means a lot. So as you hear my story, and you're only going to hear part of it because it's too long to tell all of it, and with age I've gotten weepy, so bear with me. I was born in October the 2nd, 1951. Makes me 65, save the math. At my birth, I didn't want to live. I was premature, probably had what they call hyaline membrane disease. Can I borrow that? Lived in an incubator for about 3-4 months. Had as many as 20-30 seizures a day. Pediatrician out of Vanderbilt came down. I was born at Madison Hospital. At that time it was called Madison Hospital and Sanatorium. Good place to start, right? But it was. Turns out that physician that came down to take care of me, pediatrician, now 1951, some of you can remember that, a lot of you. Some of you, it's just a number. But we didn't have health care like we've got today. We didn't have neonatologists, NICUs and ICUs and CCUs. To have that pediatrician come down was an honor. Mother was well known. And Dr. Catherine, who was the doctor at that time, was well known. Turns out she was the one that started the neonatology program at Vanderbilt. Do you know that? Very poor beginning. But God saw fit for me to live, get better, grow up. Now, what does a mother do? and a father, but mothers more than fathers. Ask the doctor, when you take the child home that barely lived, what do you think he'll grow up to be? I was given an age of 10 to 15. That's what they thought. Mentally, I would be slow. And there's some of you that may agree with that. I was told this by my mother when I was 16. So it comes from a pretty good source. Ain't it glorified to know what God can do?
Amen.
Who would have thought that I would much less graduate high school, become an EMT, nurse anesthetist, and then med school with that kind of beginning? And then be led home. I prayed a lot to God, get me in and get me out of med school, and I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll be what you want me to be. So I was going for anesthesiology. That's where the money is. And during my internship was led family medicine and then home. And this is my home, my family, my county, my cities, and I'm yours as much as you are mine. Sometimes we forget that. So birth to here, what a blessing from me, and I hope that I've been a blessing for some of you.
Amen.
Then somewhere around 11, 12, 13, Mom and Dad got the idea, let's send him off to one of those camps. He'll get to camp and make friends and have a big time. So I went to camp. I had a big time. Until they said, you have to pass a swimming test. I'm getting warmed up now. You have to pass a swimming test to go on the canoe trip, even though you got to wear a life jacket. I couldn't swim. But they said, jump on out there and give her a try. Because if you don't swim, your camp can't go on the canoe trip. Peer pressure, bad thing. They pulled me out of the water like a dish rag. I'd already gone under. Now again, this is 1960-something. CPR, and I'll bet 60% of you can do CPR. Didn't come in vogue until the 65-70s. So the best we had then is you lay them on their belly, put their arms under their chest, push the water out, and hope you get some air back in. I had a heartbeat, and I puked, and I woke up, and I didn't go on the canoe trip. They barely let me get back in the swimming pool. But my cabin did. That's the only good thing about it. They pawned me off to another cabin, and all of them went on the canoe trip. But that was all right. I went on a camping trip. I'd rather camp anyway. Those are two times that I should have died. And God has blessed me with many more. One that my son will remember. When I was in med school, I became a whitewater rafting guide. Some of you might have gone whitewater. I was a cool dude that sat on the back of the tort with the hat on and the cool looking life jacket. Well, you had to wear that ugly crap. And I got to be really, really special. Valerie and Patrick came and visited. Patrick and I went on a rafting trip with a company that I worked for. Since I got to ride free, and I wasn't real pleased with the decision of the owner, but he split Patrick and I because of the weight differential, something you don't realize we do, but we shift you around so we can maneuver the boat to its most efficiency. So he pulled Patrick, put him in a different canoe. I was not the guide, I was a participant. I did not like the guide that I wound up riding with. I didn't train him, by the way, but he wasn't that good. Not that I was, but I was. So we come off of class four. Now, if you don't know anything about whitewater, there's six classes. You don't want to be on six. And all this river had was threes and two fours. And we were at a four. Right in the middle is a huge rock. And as you come out of the rapid, you turn your raft so it pings off the rock and you spin to the left. Now, a lot of times if you've been whitewater rafting, your guide pings you. He don't tell you that, or she. But we use a lot of God's blessings on the river, such as rocks, eddies, to maneuver the craft. He hit the rock, and we pinged to the right. There were six of us in the raft. Five of us were in the water. The only one left in the raft was the guide. Now, on the river, that's bad. You dump your whole boat and you're the only one left in the raft. So you swing around this rock and he sucks you back to the left. Four of them made it. I didn't. Wide part of the river. And I was pushed to the far right-hand side, which nobody in their right mind goes down. So, I'm going to turn to another example. The river people are special people. I rafted down the river one time with some friends and had a crisis, and the whole river gave way. They eddied out. They let me deal with my crisis. Then they went back to rafting. And you can ask Christy Brown about that if you like. She's so afraid I was going to do that, and I did. So the whole river stopped. Got those four out and watched that unfortunate fool wasn't my fault. I didn't do that. And a couple of kayakers came after me and couldn't get to me. So I'm gasping for air, spitting water, puked twice, vomited, if you prefer, and came up to the ledge. The ledge, either three things happen. You go over it, you get hung up in it, or you go around it. No chance to go around it. Got over it, didn't get hung up in it, but I'm still on the wrong side of the river. There is a guide, and you know how things kind of pop at you like a photograph. Just I saw a guide talking to another guy going, "That's not where you want to be." And he was right. A gutsy kayaker, on his third attempt, made it halfway across the river. And the guys on the bank had come up with a really good idea. They tethered the boat, the kayak, and they tethered the kayaker with belay ropes, safety ropes. And he made a dive for me. On the river, they have something called a throw bag. Just a bag with rope in it. You hold one end of it and you throw the other. Thus the name. Real creative, river people are. And all I saw was this yellow-orange object, like a football. This is true. Everything I'm telling you is not exaggerated. You're going to think I put my hand up and I grabbed it, right? No, not that much. But I got the rope, laid it over my shoulder. He started reversing. The people on the bank started pulling. And yet again, God saved my life. There's no way that I could have made it much more, because I laid on the bank for about 30 minutes. Puking, exhausted, shaking almost like I am now. But yet again, God saved my life. Someone mentioned after the wreck, "You can't kill him." I really hope nobody takes that as a challenge. So, that means a lot to me. There's something about that name. Y'all, I do not exaggerate. I shouldn't have lived through my birth. They pulled me out like a dish rag. And then the whitewater rafting. July 6th, I had a horrendous car wreck. Some of you know my driving history. I'm not necessarily the slowest, and I'm not the fastest. I'm just somewhere in between. But I was only doing 60, 65. I ain't lying. Horrendous rain, I hydroplaned, went off the road up an embankment. If I'd turned left, I'd have gone into a nice little field. But I turned right. If I turned right, gone on the field. But I turned left. Went down a 70-degree embankment, right into the concrete and asphalt. The back of the truck flipped up. And in the air, I did a 360-degree turn and landed 80 feet in the medium, and I was conscious the whole time, and it does hurt to break your neck. And when the truck landed, after it landed, first thing I said was, thank you, God. Because I knew I'd broke my neck. About 10 seconds later, I won't use his name, but a local gentleman, patient and friend, jerked the car door open. And my world changes. The truck was totaled. And those of you that know the truck had this big bumper on it. The body guy in Florence Savannah, who did the estimate on the truck, said that he could fix that truck because it had virtually no body damage. But that the frame was torn, buckled, and bent. Now, you know how they make the frame, tube steel, buckle, piece of tube steel. And all I get is a broken neck. Broken neck would have led to either death or being a quadriplegic, but God saw fit to let me live. I'm back at work about 70%. I may or may not need another surgery. But what a blessing. Amen. If you have any doubt that there's a God, you really need to rethink that. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to rethink that. Amen. But the beautiful thing is God blesses both of us. Whether you have accepted Him, He has already accepted you. Amen. Now, I don't know how long I've got, but I intend to spend every minute that I can working. Both for God and for you, my county family. I'm not as able as I used to be, but I'm still able. Now, I'm going to ask, I've always wanted to do this. I really have. Can we do a song? Now, think about your life. What has God done for you? Where has He saved your life? Much less your soul. How many times have you... Now, these are actual... I should have died. How many times has it just been lucky? Oh, it could have been a bad crash, but it was, wow, it wasn't. Your family member, yourself, some little something. You stumbled when you stood up on the stool to get something out of the top shelf instead of falling. And then, with them playing and you singing, put a voice to that song. When y'all sang it a while ago, me included, we sang it. But did you feel it? That is a powerful song. And when you sing it, you're praising your God, your Jesus, and your Holy Ghost. I've always wanted to do this. So I asked, and I'm not a song leader, but I asked that you put your voice to it. Put meaning to it. And praise your God as I praise my God for allowing me to live yet again. Thank you. I guess that's your cue, Tony.
I'm going to have everybody stand. Let's sing unto the Lord. Brother Joe has encouraged us to do. From the heart of our brother. And as Joe shared with you today, every one of us can look back into our lives when all you can say is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus. Whether it's for yourself or for your loved one. And He is always, always there. I want to praise God. Christy's with us today. She surprised Joe. She was out of town and came in and got here safely, and we praise God for that. And I'm going to ask Brother Cameron Ruddle, Brother Cameron McDonald, who gets to spend a whole lot of time with Joe, and I praise God that they're together. Cameron, if you would close us out with a word of prayer.
Father God, I just want to thank you for my brother Joe.
Yeah.
What he means to me personally. Friendship that we shared, and the time that we're able to spend together. Lord, I thank you for this moment today where he was able to speak what was on his heart, what you laid on his heart, Lord, for his willingness to serve you in that capacity. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless everyone in this room in a special way, Lord. They would know that it was you who was given the blessing. And to see you in everything, each and every day. Lord, I thank you for my family and my raising. Lord, I pray for all those today who do not know you as personal Savior. Lord, that somehow, someday, feel your Holy Spirit pressing on their hearts and answer that call. Lord, go with us throughout this week. help us